The Word of God. We're almost done with the Sermon on the Mount series. It's been a year, and goodness gracious, I see what time it is. All right. Hand out some crackers or something, everybody. Matthew 7. Let's turn there quickly. Matthew 7. Again, those of you visiting with us, we've been on a year-long journey through the Sermon on the Mount. Did not think it was going to take a year, but we've been through the Sermon on the Mount. Specifically, the Lord spoke to me about, two and a half or three years ago, clearly in prayer one morning, and said, there's a storm coming. There's a storm coming, and you better get ready for it. And the promise at the end of the Sermon on the Mount is if we do this sermon and build our houses on that sermon, no matter what the storm is, it will stand up. Right? So, tough one, tough passage here. This is the last thing that Jesus teaches. Verse 21 of Matthew 7. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. I've got notes here, many for you guys, right? I'm just going to let this one rip, all right? The word for Lord right there, everybody, is the right word. So sometimes in English, we translate different words differently. Like English words are, they're the same, but there's different Greek words. This is the right word. So if you look elsewhere where Jesus is called Lord, it's the same word. So they're using the right word. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Interesting, he doesn't say not everyone who says to me, Savior, Savior. Because that's one of the problems we've got in the church today. We've got a lot of people believe in Jesus as their Savior, but not as their Lord, right? King, right? Now he's good and he's kind and he's gentle, but when he tells you something, he expects you to do it. Can I get amen? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, most likely church, when you see this phrase of that day, speaking of the future is judgment day. All right, so this is the last day, right? The last time. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, here we go again, same word, it's the right word, right? Did we not prophesy in your name, and in your name cast out demons, and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, who's I? Who's speaking right here? Who's I? It's Jesus specifically, right? This is not the Father speaking, this is Jesus. In that day, I, Jesus, the Son, the Lamb that was slain, that's risen as if slain, right? Right? The Lamb of the tribe of Judah. I will declare to them, to these people, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Father, we ask for just these next few moments, Lord, that you'd help us to open our heart, God, get over our any mental blocks that we have, any strongholds we've built, any strongholds we've allowed the enemy to build in our minds, God. We want truth. We want truth. We want truth in love. We know you love us, and if we love somebody, we tell them the truth. So, God, we want truth this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Same passage in the Message Bible. I almost never do this, but listen, here's the message. Knowing the correct password, saying Master, Master, for instance, isn't going to get you anywhere with me. What's required is serious obedience. Doing what my Father wills. I can see it now at the final judgment, thousands strutting up to me and saying, Master, we preached the message. We bashed the demons. Our God-sponsored projects had everyone talking. And do you not? And do you know what I'm going to say? You missed the boat. All you did was use me to make yourselves important. You didn't impress me one bit. You're out of here. If you're trying to study the Bible, please don't use the Message translation. All right? But every once in a while, if you've got a passage that you're like, what does this one mean? Just flip over to the Message and go, oh, all right. Interesting. Look, we got to get something, man. Jesus is pretty serious about some stuff. As I've been preaching the last two Sundays, we were talking about false prophets, right? And the one of the ways that, you know, that false prophets are going to deceive even the elect, Jesus warns us in Matthew 24, is that they're going to perform lying signs and wonders, right? Now, there's nowhere in the Bible I've found yet that we can nail down exactly what those are. But as I've been preaching the last few weeks, if I'm going to lie to this sister here, my brother over here, right, I'm going to try to do something that you don't know is a lie. That's the whole concept of lying. I'm going to get away with it, right? I'm going to do something that looks good, it looks right, but it's not. And I know it's not, but you don't, right? Moses in Deuteronomy, Deuteronomy 12 and 13, go read that, right? Scary stuff in there. The issue that we need to make sure we're sharp on, my beloved, is that we are in tune with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, right? I said last Sunday, really just super quick review, if I don't build relationship with people to the point where I'm letting my walls down and letting you see who I really am, right, I can trick you. I got one yes for that. Anybody, we can behave right for a period of time, right? Come on, people that aren't even Christians. I've met some people that aren't Christians that are amazing people. Absolutely. My dad was one of them, just an astounding human being in so many ways. And I used to joke around with people. I said, my dad's a better Christian than most Christians I know. He just had this high level of integrity. You know, I tell you I'm going to do this, I'm going to do it. You know, and truth, he told you the truth. And you know what I mean? So it's character is one way to test folks, right? But unless we really know somebody, right? How many of you, let's raise our hand, how many of you have been in a relationship with somebody, you feel like you know them, and then all of a sudden something happens and there's like this whole other side and you're like, what? Whoa. Right, typically happens when we're dating somebody. One preacher I listened to, a little side note, anybody of you that are single, he said, don't ever date somebody based on their potential because potential is unpredictable. Patterns is what you need to watch. Patterns is what shows where somebody's heart is. Amen. So I think, church, that Jesus is continuing this thought from just the previous section about false prophets. He's getting in here and talking, right? There's these false prophets that are not going to make it. But then he's saying here, he's expanding it to everybody else, right? And he's again suggesting that demonstrations of power are not a good indicator of right standing with God. Why is this such a warning? Because you know why? Here's why. Because we are drawn to demonstrations of power. We like it. Who doesn't like miracles? Come on, church. We've seen them right here in our church. Stage 4 cancer healed, right? Healed. We had another little girl, cancer in her ankle, tumor in her bone, healed. God healed her. We've had so many people have recovered from COVID in our church, right? Come on. Like, you know that there's people in the Bible that are not instantly like pow healed, but that the Lord touches them and they recover. Look at the wording. Study it. I've studied it extensively. There are some people that are instantly healed. There are some people that were going to die. Paul's friend Epaphroditus. Paul's like, this guy's a dead man. Everybody thought he was dead, but God had mercy on him and also on me. They're like, this guy's a goner. Don't tell me Paul wasn't fasting and praying and laying hands on Epaphroditus. And they're like, man, it's not working. He's going to die. And then all of a sudden, boom, he recovers. Can I get amen? See, if we knew someone, church, I'm sure we've all been here. If we know someone who's prophesying in the name of the Lord, everybody say that, in the name of the Lord. These guys are not some weird prophets like in the name of Buddha or some weird stuff, whatever. They're saying, in Jesus' name, I release this word over you. Right? They are casting out demons in the name of the Lord. They're performing miracles. The Greek word there is dunamis, works of power in the name of the Lord. Any average Christian would be like, this guy has got to be on point with the Lord. Got to be. There's no way God would allow this to happen if this person was not in right standing. But that is exactly what Jesus tells us will happen to many, he says. Many. Wow. Oswald Chambers talks about it. He says like this. The test of discipleship as Jesus is dealing with it in this chapter is fruit-bearing in godly character. And the disciple is warned not to be blinded by the fact that, listen to this, church, God honors his word even when it is preached with the wrong motive. All right, let's all close our eyes so we don't look at anybody. How many of us have ever been in a church or heard a preacher or seen, you know, you see on the news, man, you can't turn Christian news on anymore, and just about every single day without another preacher falling. And I know for me, I tell you for me, I've said like, my goodness gracious, I thought that guy was on point. I thought, man, right? Or we see one that we're like, that guy is off the rails. I know he's off the rails, right? Man, he's abusive and he's this and he's that. But you watch God moving and you're like, why would God do that? Because God is using this person to get something done that he needs to get done. I had one preacher talked about this and he says, you know, we get so excited in church today. Oh, God's using me. God's using me. God's using me. And he says, just think about it. If you were in any other relationship and that's how you describe the relationship, this person's using me. You'd be like, oh. Or if they were like, isn't it great? You'd be like, no, that's no. Run. Look at my mints are crashing. Run. You'd be right. If that's, oh, I met this great guy and he's using me. It's great. What? Oh my goodness, right? We'd be like, no, run. But do you see what I'm saying? Oh, God's using me. All right, he used a donkey too. Don't be that impressed. Come on. Philippians chapter 1, look at this. I want you to know, verse 12 to 18, I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. Listen to what Paul says here. My circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel so that my what? So those are Paul's circumstances currently. He's in prison, and it's helping the gospel. So that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment. So just modernize that, church. Someday, we're right there in America where I could very possibly get arrested for some things. So when I go to jail someday, you all get excited and get more on fire for Jesus because I'm in jail. Right? They have far more courage, Paul says, to speak the word of God without fear. Some, look what he says here. So here's he's talking about in this church, right? In the Philippian churches or church, this region of Philippi, he's gone to prison. The whole church in Philippi is more courageous, right? So he's talking about the church that's become more bold in preaching the gospel. Now in verse 15, 16, and 17, he splits the people that are bold into two categories. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ, the gospel, from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter, so those out of goodwill, are doing it out of love, agape. knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. But the former, those who are preaching from envy and strife, the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Verse 18. Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. Man, they should shut that church down because that pastor's pretty jacked up. You know, Paul's like, Paul says, I had some pretty jacked up guys in my church. As long as they're bringing the gospel, it's all right. Because God will honor what is true. Why can so many people say, Lord, Lord, look at all we did for you in your name and not make it? Because God will honor the truth that's come through them, because but they don't make it because they did not submit to the will of God. God used them. But the condemning statement from Jesus, I never knew you. Here's another one we throw on church. Hey, brother, do you know the Lord? Oh, yes, I do. I certainly do. I know him so well. Does Jesus say that that's the reason these people don't make it? Because they don't know, because you don't know me? No. The word never is their church. I looked at this bunch of translations. I looked in the Greek word. He doesn't say, I knew you and I forgot about you, or I knew you and we had a falling out, and or I knew you. No. I never knew you. You know what? Jesus came, my beloved, specifically to restore humanity to the Father. The Spirit of God is called what? The Spirit of adoption, relationship. Right? The Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of relationship. Right? Is this making sense? One guy I heard said this way, when we get to heaven, we'll be surprised by three things. It's not in the Bible, so. But this guy, British minister, has a very good reputation over in the Europe area. He said this, we'll get to heaven, we'll be surprised by three things. Number one, that we made it. Yes, amen. You know, Christians that are like, I'm going to go to heaven when I die. I'm like, yo, man, I don't. If it was that easy, why do we have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling? You know fear is? Right there. Phobos. Phobia. Afraid. Most guys teach it. He says that's the working out of what God put in. Kingdom's in you by the Holy Ghost. Now it's my job to partner with the Holy Ghost and to work out what he's put in. Right? It's fear. It's right? It's not being afraid of God. It's fearing the flesh, hating it, dealing with sin, dealing with my baggage, dealing with my garbage, right? Number one, we'll be surprised that we made it. Number two, we'll be surprised at the people that are up there that we didn't think were going to make it. No way that guy's getting in. Then you get there and he's like, hey, what's up, bro? Number three, we'll be shocked at the people who we thought were guaranteed to make it and didn't. Man, look at that guy's church. He's got to make it. Man, that evangelist, thousands and thousands of people have said yes to Jesus because of his ministry. He's got to get in. Not according to Jesus. Now, it doesn't say he's not getting in. But successful ministry, my beloved, is not an indicator that you are right with God. Do you see the trap? Now, again, this is the teaching from Jesus about building. You haven't even built your house yet. We're still laying the foundation. what? He who hears these words of mine is like a wise man who digs down deep. That's, you don't build your house underground, you build your foundation underground. Right? Is this okay? Another preacher talking about this same topic. He left the name out, but he was apparently being discipled by a very, very well-known preacher here in America somewhere. And I'm leaving this really vague on purpose because his description, I think I know who he's talking about, but very, very well-known guy, powerful, powerful minister. And he started seeing some weird things. And one day he had a dream. One night he had a dream. And in this dream, he saw this pastor sitting on a couch with a young man, and they were engaging in homosexual acts. And this pastor was doing drugs and drinking excessively in this dream. And this young man woke up, and he was so shaken by it. And he says, there's no way. That's got to be from the devil. And he prayed and prayed and prayed. And the Lord's like, nope, this is what this preacher is actually doing. Nobody knows it. And he says, I don't understand. How can this guy be so powerful, casting out demons? Like, I mean, this guy, powerful. And this is what the Lord brought this young minister to. He brought him to the story of Saul, King Saul. Samuel told Saul that you are no longer the king of Israel. But Saul remained in the position of king for almost 40 years. Wow. David had already been anointed as the new king, but Saul remained in position for 40 more years. Maybe it's not 40. I didn't look this guy's thing up. It was like 30 years, decades. And he's like, I don't understand your shun. When the Lord said to him, sometimes I take authority away from people long before I actually remove them from their position. Isn't that crazy? I knew this was going to be a quiet one. So let me wrap up really quickly here, guys. I don't want to keep y'all too long here, but think about this. The condemning statement again is, I never knew you. There's the kicker, right? He doesn't say that you didn't know me. He doesn't say, your theology's bad. That's not what he says, right? None of that stuff. So I thought about this week. This has always been a tough little few verses for me. But I thought about it like this, a couple of thoughts I just want to throw out to you guys, some scripture here, and see if we can kind of tie something together here that makes some sense. Amen? Does that sound good? I don't know. You're suggesting at some point the Lord knew them but then didn't, right? He says, I don't know you, but I never knew you. Like, there was never any connection at all, right? Oswald Chambers, again, goes on to describe it like this. In these solemn words, Jesus says that he says he will have to say to some Bible expositors, some prophetic ministers, and some workers of miracles, depart from me, you that work iniquity. Right, there's King James, iniquity. So think about this. Is laying hands on people with demons, casting demons out of it, is that an act of lawlessness? What do you guys think? I don't think so. Because Jesus says that if Satan rises against Satan, a house is not divided against itself, and it must fall, right? A demon can't cast out another demon. Only the kingdom of God comes in and casts the demon out. Do you understand what I'm saying? These people that don't make it at the end are exercising the actual kingdom of God. They're walking in the power and authority of the kingdom all the while on their way to hell. So what is this iniquity? What is this thing they're doing, right? Mark chapter 3, verse 22 says this, the scribes who came down from Jerusalem were saying, he's possessed by Beelzebub, and he cast out the demons by the ruler of the demons, and he called them to himself. Jesus called them to himself, began to speak to them in parables. How can Satan cast out Satan? If a kingdom is divided against itself, the kingdom cannot stand. If a house is divided against itself, that house will not be able to stand. If Satan has risen up against himself and is divided, he cannot stand. So clearly, these prophets And these workers of miracles are not working for Satan, they're working for God. Can I get amen? So, not a new message here as I wrap this up. What I think is going on here, my beloved, is that we can do things for the Lord without actually allowing God in. Right? So, you know, we were talking at the men's breakfast yesterday, which was really good. You know, me and this young guy over here, we both like to play basketball, so we got talking about basketball players and, you know, stats and highlights and all this stuff. And when I grew up, I was a Michael Jordan fan, greatest of all time. Anybody think so LeBron is, you need to find another church to go to. You're free to go. All right. We're not friends anymore. Seriously. But when I was younger, I mean, I could quote, I had all of Michael Jordan's stats, you know, points per game every season. I mean, I remembered all this stuff, right? I knew, like, I had all of his favorite highlights, and I knew how, you know, how many points he scored in this clinching game and all this stuff. I knew so much about Michael Jordan. But did I know Michael Jordan? Think about this. Again, this is not about us knowing about God, but not knowing God. That's not the condemnation. I never knew you. Think about this. If there's one person that knows absolutely everything about somebody that he likes a lot, it's God. You know, one of the things that keeps us away from going deep with God is because we are ashamed. And for some crazy reason, we believe this lie, like I've got this corner of my soul. I've got this thing that happened to me when I was a little kid. I've got this thing that I did or something that I'm doing. And somehow we buy this lie that God is not aware of it. You know, church, I lived in that lie for a long time. And man, once I got free from it, I looked back, I'm like, that is stupid. Man, is that stupid. That's got to be the dumbest thing I've ever done in my life. To realize that God sees absolutely everything. Everything God sees. The darkness is light to him. There's not a demon on the planet that ever has existed or ever will that's going to do something when God goes, oh my gosh, I didn't see that coming. How did you sneak that one past me? Jesus hung on the cross, my beloved, because God knows exactly how jacked up we are. And he says, you know what? I still like you. See, I think what's going on here, the reason that these, again, according to Jesus, many, many in that day don't make it after doing wonderful things. I think the issue is that they were so hung up in ministry. I know, personal friends, ministers, powerful, awesome ministers, failed marriages, kids don't talk to them. I'm talking like we all got problems, but you know, I'm talking like people that are supposed to be like showing us how to do it, right? And as I've talked to them, what I hear, you know, this is the consistent story. I got so caught up in building my ministry that I neglected what really mattered. When I turned to fix what I knew was slipping, it was too late. It was too late. Pastor Al told me, when I was coming up in ministry, he said, look, he must have told me this 1,000 times. If your church has 10,000 people in it and your family's a mess, you're a failure. That is true. So let me wrap it up right here. It's getting a little bit late. Again, this is a little bit mysterious. It's hard to, what exactly is Jesus saying here? I'm not quite sure, but I think what I can say pretty confidently is that it's letting him know me. Right? Like if I got on a plane today and flew down, I think Michael Jordan's mansion is in like Jupiter, Florida or something. Not like when I knocked on his door and I'm like, hey, can I get to know you? He'd be like, security, get this guy out of here, right? But a church is when we feel the Spirit of God pressing on our heart and we resist. I don't need to deal with that. Did you see how awesome church was on Sunday? Man, I was smoking up there leading worship. It was powerful. Don't need to deal with that problem, really. I mean, everybody thinks I'm amazing. Dude, just bought a new building. It's awesome. Doing great. And the whole time the Spirit of God's saying, I need you to deal with this. You have a whole area of your soul that you have blocked off and are not letting me in. We need to deal with that. Man, I got saved. The Lord, I was a Christian like 6 months. The Lord spoke to me clear as I'm talking to you right now. And he said, son, does it make more sense for the devil to take you out when you influence 10 people or 10,000? I was like, 10,000? Like, I don't know. Is this, what happens if I get this question wrong? I don't know. But I realized it was, I was like, okay, 10,000. I mean, that's what I would do if I was the devil, right? I'd wait. I'd just wait in the shadows till you get, I can wreak the most havoc. I can cause the most amount of damage, right? And the Spirit of God, I didn't know at the time, but I realized now looking back that the Holy Spirit was saying, I've got a call on your life and we need to get some junk cleaned up so it doesn't take you out. Church, it's scary, man. There's some, I tell you what, like our sister was saying, read your Bible. Read your Bible. Like, I mean, really read it. Don't just read the stuff that you know, oh, I like this section, I'm going to read that again. Go find the stuff that you don't like to read and read that stuff. You're like, oh, man, did that hurt. Give it to me again. Right? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Oh. Right? Because you know what, my beloved? I think we can all say this right here in our church. I think we're this kind of caliber of church. I think we all could say, I want my heart to just be laid open and bare before God. Like she said, good, bad, and ugly. Lord, here it is. You know it. I know it. So let's get it straightened out. Right? Never one time, my beloved, can you give something to God and he's going to be ashamed of you. You know what the Bible says? He's ashamed of people that don't give him everything. That's who the Bible says he's ashamed of. Did you know that? When we don't trust God all the way, he says, it's in Hebrews, read it. Therefore, God was ashamed to be called their God. Because we don't trust him all the way, we hold back. He says, no, press in. Come, press in. Bring it all. Right? Bring it all. Lay it at the altar. Give it to me. I will heal you. Amen. Let's stand up. Was this all right? But it was a tough one, man. Whew. But church, you got to understand, the Bible is, it's tough, man, but the Bible is clear. There's way more people don't make it than do. Right in the Bible, man. Jesus says it. Right? So that should make us all the more motivated to say, man, let's get as many as we can get. Let's grab onto him and say, come on. Stop fighting the Lord. Right? The Lord says to Paul, how long are you going to kick against the pricks? Come on, man. Stop fighting me. So, Father, we come this morning. Thank you, Lord, for just a sweet time in your presence. Thank you for this young man that you have touched so powerfully. Thank you for, Lord, so many of us, we could have our testimonies all day long of all the things you've done, all the things you've touched in our hearts, all the things you've restored, that you've healed, you've repaired, you've rebuilt for us, God. But, Lord, we don't want to be those people that get distracted thinking we're right. Man, that's what's so messed up to me. Imagine that person, 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, powerful ministry. And he's like, you didn't make it. I can't imagine what that would feel like. Scary. Church, it's supposed to be scary. God, we don't want that. So, Lord, any area, God, sometimes we dig our heels in church, we don't even know we're doing it. But Holy Ghost, we open our hearts right now to you. Show us, God, if there's any area that we have locked the closet door. Nope, not going in that one. Any areas that we've, you know, got the police tape up. Do not cross. God, we don't want that. Help us, God. Help us to trust you. It might hurt, but you're not hurting us. You're healing us. You're bringing us through, God. No discipline's pleasant for the season, but if we endure it, it will bring the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Lord, we want to be righteous people. We want to be people that are in right standing with you, not just working the works, God, but tight, intimate with you. You know me. You know me. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, we open our hearts to you right now. And we say, Lord, help us. Help us. We need, Lord, I can't do it. We can't do it. We need your help, God, the Spirit of God. Help us. In Jesus' name. If anybody would like to spend some time with the Lord here, we're going to just keep it quiet up front. If you'd like prayer, please come up. We'll lay hands on you. If you would like to chat and hang out, please just go out into the lobby or outside. It's nice out, a little warm, I think, but I really feel like we need to give a little bit of time for some people to just have with the Lord here. Amen? So, guys, have an awesome week. Again, Zoom link will be going out for Bible study Tuesday afternoon, and hope to see some of you on there. Amen. Have an awesome, awesome day. Jesus' name, Facebook and YouTube. I'm sorry, I keep forgetting you guys. Facebook and YouTube, thank you guys so much for being with us. In Jesus' name, blessings on you. Amen.